And we're back on the air with Uncle Paul's Jazz Closet. This is your host, Cindy McGurl, with special guest artist Steve Lindsay and piano player to help me talk about Paul Modian, learning the piano, playing the piano, composing. So we just heard before the top of the hour Victoria, a Paul Modian composition from the album Tribute, which was Paul's second album for ECM. And so these songs were written before he learned to play the piano. It was released in 1975, but it was recorded in 74. So
I wonder how he would have written them.
I know, yeah.
I did notice on the Wikipedia page, I looked at Paul, and it mentions on there, I don't know if it's true, that his first instrument was the guitar.
Yeah.
Is that subject to debate?
It was, but it was an incredibly short-lived episode. His parents, it's pretty amazing, really. So he grew up in the Depression. He was born in 1931. His parents were very poor in those years. What I can gather, his father lost his business in the Depression, and he worked for the WPA. But they got their kids music lessons, which, you know, was pretty amazing, I think. And Paul really wanted to learn to play the guitar. And so he got a guitar lesson, but the guy was teaching the kids on ukuleles, it sounded like. And Paul brought it home and put a string around it and tried to play cowboy music, you know, around it.
Yeah, a Gene Autry.
Yeah. So it was very, very short-lived. He never really had a lesson on that, but then he did get into the drums. He got drum lessons, and those two were often on a pad. They weren't on a drum set.
Mm-hmm.
When he was young, he started that when he was about 12 or so, and he did so. But he wasn't really schooled. He went to he was in the Navy, and he was in the Navy band, and he did go to the Navy has a music school, which he was enrolled in. But he was really sick for most of that time. And so he kind of got shipped out before he really had many lessons in the Navy. And then he, on the GI Bill, he went to the Manhattan School of Music in the late 50s. But he dropped out in his second semester because he got really busy playing gigs at night. And so he didn't really have much education. But the thing I discovered after I talked to Deborah Green, because she kept saying, you know, it's amazing what he accomplished with the little bit of lessons that he got from me and that kind of thing. And when I looked, I realized I'd seen this before, but I didn't really notice. Paul was also taking about a year after he started with Deborah in 1975. He started taking composition lessons, he called them. With a man named Stephen Brauman in Brooklyn. And he did that for over 5 years. And I actually have all the notes from those lessons. There's like two books of notes and their music theory and scales and just all that kind of basic stuff. And so when I told Deborah that and afterwards, and she said, now that makes sense that he had some direction. But I tried to Google Stephen Brauman and
didn't come up with anything.
I couldn't really find anything. I don't know, does anybody know him?
I haven't heard of him.
But Paul does not mention him at all in his music, in his autobiography or anything.
Pages of his daily planner notes you showed me, it says practice piano. So he took it seriously.
Very seriously, yeah.
Piano teachers or any teacher always likes it when the student takes it seriously and then is motivated and practices. So.
Yeah, and Deborah is definitely, she said he was a terrible pianist, but she said, you know, he was a really good student.
Yeah,
very dedicated.
He wasn't taking those lessons to become a pianist. He wasn't taking them so that he could go out and play concerts on them.
Exactly.
Play Carnegie Hall. He was taking them because he wanted to understand the piano better and harmony and...
Yeah.
And
be able to compose on the piano.
And be able to use it as a tool. So he was getting what he wanted, those lessons, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
That was very pretty, that Victoria that you just...
Yeah, played. Isn't that... That's a nice tune.
The last
yeah.
tune. And with that, with the guitar that was sort of flamenco inspired, I thought.
Yeah, that's, yep, that was Sam Brown on the guitar and Paul Metzke on the electric guitar. And Carlos Ward on alto saxophone, Charlie Hayden on bass in that group. Yeah, I think that was that the electric guitar? Paul Metzke,
no.
I think. No, it was the acoustic.
The acoustic guitar was very, very pretty in there. And I thought did a beautiful thing with the tune.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So next up I have Etude, which is a tune from Paul's album Psalm. And I don't know if we should play the... We'll play the... Oh, I was going to play the... Yeah, I'm not going to do that. All right, changing course here. We're going to play, I was proud of myself because I, listening to this piano tape, I recognize this as Etude, which, so my ear must be getting, I'm learning a little bit. And then I'm going to play the recorded version after the piano practice.
Thank you.
And that was Etude from Somme with Joe Lovano and Billy Drews on saxophones, Bill Frisell on guitar, Ed Schuler on bass, and Paul Modian on drums. And we heard the piano practice, 1978 or so, before that, of that tune.
Those piano tapes have a little blast from the past in them. The cassette wobble.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The tones don't stay in one place very clearly.
Yeah.
And especially if he's recording over the cassettes or using those long cassettes, if you remember the 120-minute ones and things.
There's 60 minutes per side on that one, I think.
Yeah, they tended to not give you a very pure sound.
Yeah. Well, think of how many, is that 40 or is it 50 years old?
Yeah. So you get a little sound in there.
But. Yeah, it's amazing they're in decent condition as they are. I think I'm getting them transferred before they bite the dust.
It's nice to see what Bill Frisell does with his concept.
Yeah.
And how he interprets it. That was because I have this nice book in front of me that you've put together.
The song book. Yeah, all these songs are in there.
All the writing, or as much as you've gotten organized now.
I'm working on volume two.
I can look at the transcription or at the score. And it's interesting to see what, Bill Frisell did with that. And he plays it very straight. He plays that through two or three times. I can't remember, but pretty much the way it's written down here on the page.
He does, yeah.
But with the effects and adding a harmony, which isn't included in this score. And which wasn't really in the piano version, so he may have been messing around with that. He sort of adds a chord here and there.
Yeah, improvising.
Defines it more.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Paul liked to see what people would do with his music.
I'm sure he did. That's why he played with Bill Frisell and Charlie Hayden.
Yep.
I don't think they were people who only did as they were told.
No, he would get mad. He always told me, he's like, I want to tell him, don't follow me. Don't follow me. Just, you know, do your own thing. He didn't want people to play it straight. I wanted to mention Russ Lossing, the pianist. He was a friend of Paul's, and he did a whole album called Drum Music, and it's all solo piano, and it's all Paul Modian compositions. And Paul depended on Russ for computer help, for one. I thought Russ was a computer guy. I didn't even realize he was a musician at first. It's kind of embarrassing. But he's a really great pianist. And Paul liked the way he interpreted his tunes. But he would invite, when he was writing new music, he would often invite Russ over to his house. And he would have Russ play his new compositions on his piano so he could listen, so Paul could listen to hear how it sounded.
But it's also a way to find out if you wrote down what you thought you'd written down. If you're not very skilled at writing music, you might say, no, that hold that note longer. And he says, the piano player could say, well, that's not what it says here on the page. So you could adjust it to what you were hearing back.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a back and forth.
Now you can do that on your computer.
I wonder, it's
a garage band or something.
but Paul never really played piano. Like, I never heard him play the piano when I was at his apartment. I thought I was there a ton, but he never played the piano for anybody. But he did one time when I brought Kaylee, my daughter. She was like 5 or 6. And she sat down at the piano, and she'd never had music lessons or anything. And she started just banging away. And Paul's immediately, like, right over there, so interested in what she was doing. Like, just a total novice. That may have even been her, I don't know if it was her first, it wasn't her first time at a piano, but she hadn't been at one very often. And he sort of was like playing a duet with her. It was really great. but he really wanted to see what she could do.
Yeah.
And Yeah. So we had an interesting view.
There was a piano player around who was not known as a piano player. Charlie Mingus often played piano.
Oh, he did, yeah.
And he played on some recordings. Uh-huh. And I never heard him play piano, but he was known for being a piano player. And I think he composed on the piano.
And
thought things through using the piano.
Yeah.
As a composer.
Yeah. Next up, I have what Paul called on the piano practice, old version Mariam. So the story of Mariam is a song Paul wrote that came out on the 1984 Soul Note release, The Story of Mariam. But he was definitely playing it and practicing it for quite a while before then. So I'm not really sure. I don't know, maybe Steve can listen and see what he hears in the differences between this, what he's calling the old version. Maybe we can sort of figure out how he changed it.
And this is The Story of Mariam?
Yeah, yeah. But first I'm going to play the piano practice that says old version, so it might be a little different. And then I'll play the recorded one from the album.
Thank you.
Story of Mariam, from the album of the same name, a soul note release with Joe Lovano and Jim Pepper on saxophones, Bill Frisell on guitar, Ed Schuler on bass, Paul Modian on drums, and at the top of the set, Paul Modian playing what he called the old version, Mariam, around 1978 or a little bit later than that. I want to remind you that you're listening to Community Radio, 93.3 FM, WRFR, low power, Rockland, Maine, streaming online at WRFR.org. So what do you think of that, Steve?
That's very pretty. Very simple. It's got a major chord that gets repeated over and over.
Yep.
Three, four times like that. And it's, it does seem like on the piano, he couldn't get the complexity that he was hearing in his head. He couldn't handle the different voices that he's hearing. And he's hearing how that was woven together out of that chord. And his collaborators brought it to life.
They always said less is more, you know. That was sort of his philosophy. So they are very simple tunes.
It's a very simple sort of chant-like thing, but it's very interesting the way they weave together and the way that the musicians played with it in that recording.
I love that song. I wanted to tell...
The bass playing is beautiful in that.
Ed Schuler.
Ed Schuler's bass playing is really wonderful.
Yeah.
It adds... I mean, it could be a very sort of pedestrian tune, and the bass is bringing it alive there. I did notice when he's playing piano, it's interesting that there's hardly ever a pulse. There's not much of a beat. And some of the notes in this book of his pieces that he wrote say free time or loose time.
Yeah.
And that it's interesting that for a drummer, he wasn't writing... pieces that were driven by a pulse or a beat.
Yeah.
I mean, in there's an obvious beat. But when he's playing the piano, it's often like he's listening to the notes and not paying that much attention to the structure of the rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think he saw the drums, you know, he's wrote different things about seeing it as... an entire orchestra and not just as the timekeeper, although he could do that, you know. I do have this little paragraph from Paul's autobiography, just a little thing about writing music. He wrote, "I like melody, lyricism, tunes and songs more and more. Writing music is not easy for me. I'll have an idea or sit at the piano and play until I do something I like, then write it down. I'm not that knowledgeable, but I trust my ears and my intuition. The jazz masters, they showed the way, and those that copped, and those that didn't. That makes sense, doesn't it, for that he would write that. Next up, we have Kabbalah and on the piano, and then... Kabbalah has never been recorded by itself. It's always sort of runs right into drum music. So I'm going to play Kabbalah drum music from Leur Voyage after we hear the piano practice version. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we had Kabbalah dance drum music. First time it was recorded on Leur Voyage with Paul Modian, Charles Brackeen on saxophone, and J.F. Jenny Clark on bass. And before that, we heard Kabbalah and the piano practice. So Kabbalah is never, it's never been recorded by itself. And drum music went on to become Paul's signature tune that he played at the end and occasionally the beginning of sets when he played live. And any comments on that, Steve?
Well, he's in both of them, when the drum solos were seemed to be stating the theme, like the drum is actually playing, like you can hear him hearing in his head, do 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 do, and then playing boom 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 on the drums.
Uh-huh.
That's the way it sounds to me, that he's playing with that. But I did notice, I'd mentioned the loose time, Kabbalah, the time signal, the time, the tempo indication in the writing is medium exploratory tempo. And Baya Blue on the facing page says played expressively, not in tempo.
Uh-huh.
So these were, he was not stuck on the pulse, as
yeah.
you can see. I noticed another thing is that his piano playing, you know, a lot of jazz piano playing that we hear is based on pyrotechnics, people flying around the keyboard, playing fast arpeggios and fast scales and modes.
Uh-huh.
And he's obviously not interested in that.
Yeah.
Even from anybody. He's not interested in hearing pyrotechnics and people running around and showing off how fast they can go.
Uh-huh.
And it does make me think of some of the older guys who were around. I got to see Abdullah Ibrahim 2 years ago, the great South African pianist.
Uh-huh.
And he's like that. He plays very simply. And he's one of the great piano players in the world. He's about 90 years old. And he was interested in playing interesting notes here and there, and very simple stuff. And that seems to be a theme going through this.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so glad I asked you to come on the show, because you gave it some intelligent musical thought.
Well, I don't know about that.
I think
from another homemade piano player.
Me keep saying, I don't know.
I think he's I think he took more lessons than I did on the piano. So
he did, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have other kinds of music lessons though?
Well, I played clarinet in the school band.
Yeah,
and I did learn stuff from that. I had a few piano lessons that didn't go anywhere as a 10-year-old.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't go anywhere as far as me playing Swans on the Lake and things like that. But I actually drew on that when I was 15 and wanted to learn piano.
Uh-huh.
That stuff had stuck in my head, how to hold your fingers, and it helped me.
Yeah.
So every little bit helps.
Yeah.
That's what he was looking for when he took those lessons, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's true. One other insight that Deborah Green had that I wanted to mention was, she witnessed the name change. I know, Steve, you asked me about me, how I say Modian and not motion.
Mm-hmm.
So it happened between late 1974 and 1977, because he came into his lesson one day and he told Deborah, he said, "I'm now Paul Motion and not Paul Modian." And he told her the same story he told me, which is that people kept mispronouncing the name, and he got sick of correcting him, and then he started thinking about it, and he was like, "Motion, that's a good name for a drummer." And he adopted it. But Deborah didn't really like it. She said She said she felt like he was, you know, changing the name, pronunciation was denying his heritage. But I don't know. I don't agree with that. But yeah, so that's the story of the name.
That's very good.
And I do, I've got a bunch of music, more music. So I've got a version of Body and Soul of Paul on the piano. But then I have this interesting improvised blues tune. What do you think? Should we go out with that?
Sure.
Okay.
That was like blues.
Yeah. We'll see how bluesy it is.
Yeah, we'll see how Paul approaches blues.
Okay, so this is Paul Modian playing improvised blues to take us to the top of the hour. And we'll see you next week. Oh, I wanted to mention one more thing. Down in Portland this month at Woodford's Church, there are some great jazz concerts put on by the Portland Conservatory of Music and Dimensions in Jazz. Tonight is Hush Point. Next Friday is the Mike McGinnis Trio with Steve Swallow, and I'm definitely going down to that. And then the following Friday, the 21st, the Ryan Blotnick Quartet. And Saturday, the 28th, that one's not on a Friday, the Titus Abbott Band. So some great events down there, not too far away. Okay, Paul Modian Blues.